If you're someone who manages a communication system, well, you know the grind. I still remember this one Friday afternoon. A delivery of like 30 new IP phones shows up, every single one. And I mean, every one was running factory firmware that was months out of date. I had to manually update each device before I could even think about provisioning it. It felt less like IT and more like working on an assembly line.
That experience right there,
Yeah.
that unnecessary friction is exactly what we're talking about. It's the small, repetitive tasks that just bleed efficiency, hardware setup, or trying to navigate huge call recordings.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today, the 3CX V20 Update 8 release candidate. It seems to target those two, fundamental frustrations, the manual hardware setup and just static data. Our mission here is to give you the shortcut. We're going to map out how these two improvements solve those daily headaches.
And we should probably start with that term, release candidate, or RC. It gives a lot of context. This isn't just another experimental beta. This is, for all intents and purposes, a feature-complete version of the software. It's already gone through internal alpha testing, multiple beta stages.
So it's mature code, but it still needs that final real-world check before it gets the green light for everyone.
Precisely. The whole priority of the testing shifts in the RC phase. You move from general functionality to hunting down those weird edge cases that only pop up in diverse real-world setups. What's really strategic here is that this update, it isn't focused on some flashy new interface. It's all about methodical, practical refinements, the kind of updates that actually make an admin's life easier.
That focus on admin pain points is definitely something you see with mature platforms. Okay, so let's start with that first one, the physical hardware headache. Walk us through it. Why is firmware such a constant problem when you're trying to deploy new phones?
Well, it really boils down to a lag in the supply chain. You order phones, and they ship with whatever firmware was stable on the assembly line that day. But at the same time, 3CX is constantly running tests, finding issues, and approving very specific, validated firmware versions that guarantee stability.
So you unbox a brand new phone, and it's almost a guarantee that its firmware won't match the required 3CX version.
Almost always, yes.
Yeah.
And the old workflow is just painful. An admin had to intercept every new phone, check the version, manually find the right firmware file, start the install, which often means the phone reboots multiple times, and then finally you can provision it. Now scale that up. 50 phones, 100 phones. The hours you lose are just staggering.
Okay, so what does Update 8 RC bring to the table to automate this loop? And I'm curious, why start with Yealink specifically?
It's a new intelligent firmware management system. And yes, for now, it's focused on Yealink phones that show up with non-3CX factory firmware. I think the reasoning is pretty straightforward. Yealink is a huge market leader, and because they have so many models and revisions, they're often the source of the most common headaches you see in support forums. It makes sense to tackle the biggest source of complexity first.
So walk me through the mechanics. Let's say I enable this feature. I'm guessing it's in the admin console somewhere under phones and
It
options.
is.
So I turn it on. What happens when a new phone powers up for the first time?
The initial provisioning sequence gets a new step. The phone's registration process is paused for just a moment. The system does a quick check of the phone's current firmware against the approved version in its database. If it sees a mismatch, and it usually will with a new phone, it automatically triggers a download and install of the correct validated firmware.
And it does that before the phone finishes registering. That's the critical part. It means the phone is running on tested compatible firmware from the very first second it's operational.
Exactly. It just eliminates that whole manual step. But, and this is a really crucial point about stability. This feature is still in beta, and it is disabled by default. You, the administrator, have to consciously opt in.
Which implies a risk. I mean, the biggest fear for any admin pushing a firmware update is bricking the device if something goes wrong. Is that a real concern here?
It's a very concern, and it's why this is being handled so cautiously.
Yeah.
The update uses tried and tested methods, so the worst-case bricking scenario is very unlikely. If an error happens, say, during the download, the phone just fails to register. You'd have to intervene, but the device itself isn't rendered useless. But the main safeguard, and this is so important, is that this automation only applies to newly created IP phone profiles.
Oh, that's huge. That's the safety net. It stops someone from accidentally turning this on and pushing updates to hundreds of existing working phones that might be on a slightly older but stable version. You don't break what's already working.
It's all about minimizing disruption. The value here isn't just saving a couple of hours updating a batch of phones. The real long-term value is consistency. When you have the same validated firmware across your entire deployment, troubleshooting complexity just plummets.
Right. A support ticket comes in 6 months from now, and the engineer doesn't have to waste 20 minutes asking, okay, first, what firmware version is it running? They can just assume the baseline is correct and move on to the real problem.
It streamlines the whole support lifecycle. This isn't about a flashy new toy. This is about making sure the foundation of your comm stack is solid, standardized. It's like, you know, getting everything organized and labeled before you open for business.
Okay, so we've tackled the physical friction, the hardware setup. Now let's pivot to that other big friction point, data. Specifically, trying to get real intelligence from hours and hours of audio recordings.
Right. Section two, let's talk about transcripts. Call transcripts were a huge leap forward, no question. They turned audio you couldn't search into text you could. But that was kind of where the benefits stopped.
You're talking about the static text problem. I mean, you'd have a 45-minute client call. You could search for a keyword, find the phrase. But the transcript gave you zero clue when that was said. So you're still stuck scrubbing through the audio timeline, trying to sync it up manually.
Precisely. It was text without that critical temporal context. What Update 8 RC does is enhance the existing stereo mode transcription. It now adds precise timing information for every single utterance.
So it basically transforms that dense block of text into a navigable conversation map.
That's a perfect way to put it. Every single line of dialogue now has a timestamp, and it's accurate to within a second or two. You're not just reading a script anymore. You're scanning a timeline that lets you jump right to the part you care about. It makes these long calls, you know, the ones pushing an hour, so much more digestible.
And this is where it gets really practical for you, the listener. Just think about QA and training workflows.
Exactly. Take a quality assurance team. A supervisor flags a specific moment. Maybe an agent did a great job de-escalating a tough call. They can now just jump to, say, 37 minutes and 12 seconds in the transcript, see the exact dialogue, and use that specific concrete example for training. The feedback moves from a vague, handle this better, to look at exactly what happened right here.
And for compliance teams, this must be huge. It strengthens the audit trail so much. If you're in finance or healthcare, and you need to prove that mandatory legal language was read at the end of a sales call, you don't have to listen to the whole 15 minutes anymore.
You just verify that the required disclosure was read between, say, 15.00 and 15.45. It's not just about saving time searching. It's about having concrete, time-stamped evidence for regulators that policies were followed. The verification potential is massive.
What's really interesting to me, though, is how the timing adds a dimension beyond just searching. It starts to reveal the dynamics of the conversation itself.
Yes. You can see the rhythm. A two-second pause in a negotiation might just be silence in a static transcript. But with a timestamp, that pause suddenly has meaning. Maybe it's deliberation or confusion.
Or the customer is formulating a counteroffer. You can see the ebb and flow. Rapid-fire exchanges could mean high engagement or maybe even conflict. Long pauses could be consideration, or maybe a sign that rapport is breaking down.
It shifts the review process from just analyzing the content to analyzing the pacing and the interaction style. This is incredibly valuable for advanced training, helping agents understand not just what to say, but when to say it, and how to pace their responses. It makes reviewing a call a strategic exercise, not a chore.
Okay, so we've got two massive efficiency wins here. Automated hardware deployment and time-aware navigable transcripts. But they're both under this release candidate label. We have to talk about the risk. How should an admin approach this RC? Can they just roll it out?
No, absolutely not. The RC designation means it's almost ready, pending that final validation. It has to be treated as an evaluation version. We'd strongly, strongly advise that you install this only in a testing or a staging environment, and one that perfectly mirrors your live setup.
Because even if 99% of the code is solid, it's that last 1% that'll crash on your one specific custom configuration.
That's exactly it. The whole point of the RC phase is to catch those really elusive edge cases. And if you're in a regulated industry, finance, healthcare, the cost of failure is just astronomical. You don't risk your live operation.
So for any listener thinking of testing this systematically, what are the first steps? Where do you even begin?
First thing, establish baselines. Before you test the firmware update, document your current pain points. How long does it actually take you to deploy 10 phones right now? For the transcripts, find out how long your QA team spends trying to locate a specific quote in a long call today. You need those metrics.
So you have a clear before and after. You're measuring actual time saved, not just a perceived benefit.
Second, with the firmware provisioning, test cautiously. Don't go and roll out 50 phones. Start with a tiny batch, maybe 5 new devices. verify everything. Does it ID the old firmware? Does it download the new one? Does it register? Does it work flawlessly? Then you can think about scaling up your test.
And on the transcription side, I assume it's a similar idea.
Don't use synthetic tests. Have the people who actually use this data every day, your trainers, your auditors, test it in their real workflows, get their feedback. Are the timestamps clear? Is navigation fast enough? Does it actually solve their problem?
And probably the most important part of the whole RC process, the part people forget, is the feedback loop.
It's critical. If you find a bug, detailed reporting is everything. You need to provide your configuration specifics, the exact steps to reproduce it, you know, the specific Yealink model, its factory firmware version, all of it. The dev teams rely on that granular feedback to squash those final bugs.
You know, what's remarkable is how both of these features just integrate into the existing 3CX interface. There's no big learning curve. It's just deliberate refinement.
And that strategic approach, prioritizing these high-value improvements that come directly from user pain points and forms and support tickets, it says a lot about the platform's focus on stability. They're building efficiency into the structure that exists instead of, you know, tearing it down for something new and shiny.
Absolutely. So to sum it up, the 3CX V20 Update 8RC tackles two major friction points. It eliminates the manual firmware headache for new Yealink devices and turns static transcripts into navigable, time-aware conversation maps. Pure targeted efficiency.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought. When you look at this development pace alpha, multiple betas, now the RC, and the obsessive focus on practical user efficiency, it reveals a pretty fundamental strategy.
Yeah.
So you should ask yourself this. What does this steady, non-revolutionary update strategy, the one that prioritizes practical stability over big headline-grabbing features, what does that tell us about the future of mission-critical business software?
Right. Should your organization be chasing radical innovation that might break things? Or do you benefit more from this kind of continuous, low disruption refinement that just makes your existing workflow smoother and more reliable? Something to consider as you evaluate this new RC.